listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
I mean, these are the days, baby. Dallas going down, if you can believe it. What a day for talk radio. I'm RJ, live from Las Vegas, coast to coast, 6 Eastern, 3 here in Vegas, 200 Fox stations across the country. Big day. Also, Pickpalooza, nothing but picks, including bottom of the hour, Colin Cowherd, the world premiere of pick number 6. We got a full house in studio. Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Steve Fezzik, NFL expert. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Joan. It's not.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start on a Friday on Straight Outta Vegas with a look back into a wild game last night in Chicago between the Bears and the Cowboys. Week 14 in the NFL, seeing the Bears beat Dallas 31-24, the final from Soldier Field.
Yeah, if by wild you mean one team just wallops the other one, it was wild and crazy. Let's skip what we pride ourselves on SOV, we skip the obvious. We skip most of what the other shows, quite frankly, are talking about. Not so much on FSR, because we are, in my opinion, the best network, because we love radio. Other networks, it seems to be an afterthought, as far as I can see, sometimes. So what's obvious is, and Fez, you tell me if you agree, the score was deceiving, some garbage stats, some garbage points for Dallas.
Yes, and Dallas was plus 2 in turnovers, and despite that, RJ,
so we're changing the subject right off the go, huh?
Dallas was down 17 points in the fourth quarter. Despite getting lots of breaks, they got crushed. Yes.
Okay, let's double back and just try to answer my question. Would you agree that the score was deceiving in that there were some late yards and late scores from Dallas?
Very deceiving. This was a blowout.
And when you consider turnovers, it's even more impressive what Chicago did. So what was the turnovers?
It was plus 2 for Dallas, cost Chicago a touchdown in the first quarter. This would have been an even bigger blowout if not for the turnovers.
Okay, so there's turnovers, and then you added some other little element to them. But it's plus 2, right? Okay. And usually with plus 2, you don't even win the game.
Yeah, 82% of the time you lose when you lose the turnovers 2-0.
Oh, when it's 2-0. Okay, because it's 77 if you lose them at all. So now think about that. That's a good stat. 82% of the time, if all you knew was Dallas was plus 2, Dallas would win 82% of the time. The fact that they lost, and they lost handily, oh, something's wrong. What's wrong? We talked about this yesterday in the preview. A lot of people are saying it's coaching. A lot of people are saying it's coaching. Well, let's look at that. What are the times that coaching matters? Because in theory, if I was coaching, the team would be horrible. It would be horrible in offense, in defense, in special teams. We might not even get there. You know, the bus might be late. Who knows? How is Jason Garrett, assuming that he is a below average coach, how would it show? To me, what would show, you would think, would be the performance overall. How many yards does the team gain? How many yards do they give up? And thus, there wouldn't be a ton of confusion. We'd be saying, well, we're looking at these players, and Dak seems like he's good, and Zeke's good, and the left tackle's good, and blah, blah, blah. Sean Lee can call plays. It'd be all kind of different things. And then we'd say, but they're losing and they're getting dominated statistically. But that's not happening. Dallas's stats are excellent. Now, Fez, Dallas entered the game 6-6 yesterday. In your power ratings, the most respected in Vegas, you said Dallas was what coming into this game?
I'm embarrassed to say the number 8 team, RJ.
Thanks for answering the question. Number 8. And they had a 500 record. That means they should be about 16. The reason being what? The stats, right?
Yeah, stats were incredibly impressive, outgaining their opponents by over 100 yards per game.
Yes, yes. Now, was that something you calculated? Were you using as a consideration yesterday?
Well, yards per play.
You were looking at the yards per play. How do they do on that?
Yeah, plus 1.3 yards per play differential, number 2 in the NFL.
Okay, because had you ever heard him talking about Dallas's net yards per game on the season?
Did not hear that prior to just now.
You know what's interesting? We're going to be talking about that in a minute. And the audience will hear for a second time. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Okay, so stats say it's really good for Dallas. The record says it's really bad. Everyone thinks it's coaching. Well, what would coaching show? Well, that's a bad coaching, beyond bad stats. Well, we speculated yesterday. We thought, well, the first quarter offense would struggle because you don't have it all scripted out. Now, it's funny, Colin today was talking on The Herd right here on FSR. Colin today was saying, oh, Dak is good on the script, and he's good in garbage time, and that's always good. I'm not sure where that's coming from. Because one, as we gave out one of my two winners, you think one game, one winner would be enough. Nah, I said I'll do two. Under first quarter. Now that one got a little tight.
Yep.
But it cashed.
Yep.
And part of it was on the road, and this is a subset, but on the road in the first quarter, the prior, like, 17 games, Dallas had 0 touchdowns. 0. So think about that. It's over 4 games worth of first quarters. Imagine if a team was shut out 4 straight games and then shut out the first quarter of the next game. That's where pretty much Dallas was in first quarters. That would be the lead story on every show.
Yep.
But because it's a little obscure, not the lead story, we put it out yesterday. Now, it's hard to imagine that if you don't score a touchdown on your road games ever, and that's been for 2 calendar years, that you're a good first quarter team. Now, why again does first quarter have to do with coaching? Because of the whole idea of scripting the plays. The idea of, okay, this is where the scheme, this is where you can outsmart people. Nagy, apparently, you know, look what Nagy did with Trubisky last year. Well, if you look at points, just points. Now, by the way, Dallas's points across all situations. So for the game, number 7 in the NFL entering yesterday. Now, their yardage was number 1. They gained the most yards per game. Dallas does more than any team in the NFL. But we're even going to just look at points, which they're 7. Now, in general, you would think, okay, if you looked at points overall, and then you looked at red zone efficiency, you would think, well, hey, that's going to be about the same because how do you get points in the red zone, right? But somehow, some way, Dallas is inefficient in the red zone much more by a significant margin than they are just scoring points in general. So number 7 with points and in the red zone?
Number 14.
All right, so down 7 slots.
Yep.
We also expected, well, what about first quarter, which we were just talking about? Well, first quarter, you would think, well, if you're number 7 in points for the game, you should be about 7 for the first quarter. Where's Dallas?
Number 21.
Ooh, not good.
No.
That script. Yep. I don't know.
Not good.
And then you think, what's the last piece? How do you do in the third quarter? Adjustments. So script is the first quarter, adjustments in the third quarter. And lo and behold, what do we see in the third quarter?
Number 17.
So in the 3 areas you would expect coaching to matter the most on offense, if you assume the team has good stats, which that's to me what bad coaching would lead to is bad stats. Dallas has really good stats. The most yardage, 7th, most points. They're worse in the first quarter by a big margin. Worse in the third. And worse in the red zone, with playmakers, which makes it even more egregious. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Now let's talk about Dallas and the yardage. This season, per game, Dallas has outgained their opponents by 112 yards per game. Now, in the NFL, if all you do is win the yardage battle, that's it. You get more yards. You win the game nearly 70% of the time. Dallas is outgaining their opposition by over 100 yards per game, and they have a below 500 record. By the way, Green Bay, 9-3 record, they are being outgained by 37 yards per game. Green Bay outgained by 37 yards, 9-3 record. Dallas outgains the opponent by over 100, below 500. Seattle, 10-2. Seattle outgains their opposition, they do, by 22 yards per game. Dallas by 112 yards per game. Fez, if I asked you before the season started, I say, we're going to find a team about week 13 or 14 that's 100, and we'll find a, you know, there'd be a way we knew exactly the team closest to 112 yards plus per game. And then we find the team that's closest to minus 37 yards per game. So this is Dallas and Green Bay. What kind of price would you lay that the 112 would have the better record?
I'd risk 30 to win $1.
So you think it's like a 3% chance,
right,
that Dallas could have this kind of net yardage advantage per game and be playing this poorly?
Exactly.
Or one loss record this poor, not even playing this poorly, the one loss record this poor. I agree. I didn't know the 30-1. I'm not, you know, I trust you on that for sure, but man, oh man, Green Bay's got a better record than they should. Seattle has a better record than they should. And Dallas has a worse record than they should. Now I can hear, I'm going to listen. I can hear across the country, they're saying, close games, that's what matters. Close games, good coaching steps up in close games. You know, you might have a point, or you might not. If you listen for the next 30 seconds, you might think you're right. The next minute 30, you're wrong. This year, Dallas in close games is 0-5. Holy cow, get Garrett out.
Yep.
Well, the rest of Garrett's tenure, time as the Dallas head coach, how many years was that, Brad, before this year?
It started with 2011, his first full year. Remember, he took over for Phillips at the end of 2010.
All right, so from end of 10 onward,
yep,
Dallas was number 5 in the NFL in close games, meaning games, straight up record, decided by one score or less, so 7 points or less. Dallas was 41-30 entering this year. Number 5. By the way, number 1, Patriots. Pretty good stat, right? Okay. Patriots 1, Dallas and Jason Garrett 5. Now he's 0-5. Did he get dumb? Did he do like a bunch of LSD or something trying to expand his mind but has like slight brain damage? I don't think so, right? No indication, but somehow he's gotten stupid in close games apparently, or not. Because how would Dallas be 41-30 otherwise? 41-30. It doesn't seem like it's that. What could it be? I don't know. To me, it makes me want to bet Dallas. It makes me want to bet Dallas. One caveat, though. RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. We've been talking about self-fulfilling prophecies. Now, what's that concept? It's that once you start believing something, once you start thinking about it too much, it starts to happen, right? Anyone that's ever seen, what was that Dodger second baseman? Was it Sachs? If I remember, he had the yips going to first. He couldn't throw to first base, right? We've seen Greg Norman. How many times in these extreme cases?
Great example.
Yeah. And then somehow, some way, you break the curse and you're fine. We've all had those experiences. Jerry Jones was very deliberate, wanting to talk about, oh, maybe this is the year that we part ways with him. And it seems like he wanted to give the team a good stirring up. I think they got too stirred up.
Yeah.
Because that was as bad of a performance. You know, I don't know. They lost to the Jets, but it was not a good performance. Jonas, voice it, or you got the voice of the fan, you got the eyes of the fan. What did you see?
I saw a team that looked like they quit in the second half, looked like they on the sidelines were totally dejected. You can point at all the garbage time yards you want, and that's fine for Dak Prescott, but it looked on the sidelines that they were completely checked out. Jason Witten was trying to give motivational speeches. They looked like they were completely lost.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the higher the stakes are in anything, it's an advantage when everything's going right. Oh, look, guys, we're going to this goal together. Go, go, go. Meet here at 6 in the morning. But then when things start going wrong, that's when it's like, man, you set those expectations high, and I'm disappointed. It feels like Dallas's expectations are so high that losing like they are recently, this season even, what would Belichick do in this case? Belichick would say, calm down. We're doing everything right. Trust the process. It's the opposite. In Dallas, it feels like they're doing like a full examination of every little decision they make every game now. That can't be good.
Yep.
So on one hand, I want to back Dallas because I think the market is going to finally say, well, the stats don't matter anymore because Dallas is so bad. I can't figure out how they don't matter. I get the whole idea first and third quarters assign the lack of scoring there, that Garrett's not a great coach. And I get the idea that the red zone means they got to scheme up better. But they still shouldn't be 6-7. That should cost them maybe a game, game and a half, that variation first and third quarter. But man, oh man, to be below 500 when you outgain your opponent by 112 yards is almost incomprehensible. When we come back, we are going to talk about, quickly, Mitch Trubisky. I mean, is there a reevaluation there? His stats are pretty good. And Steve Fezzik with his early best bet.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, there's a question that the voice of Vegas has regarding a quarterback that suffered from a lot of criticism so far this season.
Much maligned, Trubisky. Any revenge? We'll see. Perhaps. Macho Man used to talk about being maligned.
From the top to the bottom.
Exactly. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio, up 150% this year. And we thank you for that. 5 days a week on 200 FSR stations nationwide. Also, iHeartRadio.com and FoxSportsRadio.com. You know, iHeart's actually got an app that's even better, and SiriusXM and podcast. Just search RJ Bell. Right now on the strip, it's 60 degrees and the neon is pumping.
So RJ, we were talking about Thursday night football just a few minutes ago and the downside for the Dallas Cowboys. Well, there's a flip side to that, and it is Mitch Trubisky and his performance as the Bears get a 31-24 win. Trubisky, 3 touchdown passes and another one rushing for Chicago.
Oh, he's running the ball. Brad, look up his QBR. I want to look at the game by game when I make this point. To me, whenever I hear everybody going one way, it makes me suspicious. One, I know there's a herd mentality. I'm not talking about Colin. There's a herd mentality generally with humans. It's human nature. For a long time, if you weren't part of the herd, you were done. Like, there were no loners in the caveman times, right? No Prozac, no loners. You were with the herd or you were done gone. But the herd is often wrong. And, you know, even when they're right, there's no great value to that. Because if everyone thinks it, how do you make money from it? Hey, gravity exists. I agree. The world is round. I agree. How do I make money? So I'm always kind of poking at, how do you make money by being against the herd? I think this hate of Trubisky is overdone. First off, he was picked second in the draft by professional level draft evaluators. This wasn't Al Davis in his last year pointing up, going, that guy, the fast one. It was none of that. All right. This is the Bears making a decision with it. You know, I don't know. We can judge their front office. I'm not in a position to do it. So this means this guy's got the tools. And you might say, yeah, but what about the results? What about on the field? Well, QBR, by my assessment, and I've never heard a good case otherwise, is the best single measure of how well a quarterback has done. Last year in the entire NFL, Mitch Trubisky was the number three quarterback in the NFL, ahead of Tom Brady, if I recall, ahead of Drew Brees, if I recall. I don't know. One of those might have been. Brees was ahead of him?
I think Brees was.
Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Yeah. Just whoever that. Oh, it was Mahomes and Brees was one
yes.
and two.
Yes.
All right. So let's do this. I could start taking off names. Or I could say, except for Brees, except for Mahomes, our boy Mitch was better. Okay? Now, this year, he was not good. Chevy Chase would say it. Not good. But you know something? He's gotten good all of a sudden. For a while. QBR last night?
81.
So this is a percentage stat. So literally what we're saying is he's better than 81% of quarterbacks in general over the long term, what he did last night. Okay. Game before that?
64.
Better than 64%. That's better than 50, I'll tell you that much.
Yep.
Anything before that?
No, not as good.
Then he was bad.
It's 30, 45, 43.
So the kind of stuff that caused people concern.
Yep.
Well, here's what I know is if you have, 13 games so far, if you have two good ones this year, and I'm sure you had one other good one,
yep.
right? So let's say three good ones and 10 bad ones. So if you have three good games and 10 bad games one year, it's a cause for concern, no doubt. But if last year, your whole year was just darn good, well, if you want to talk sample size, you want to talk, hey, let's let math guide the way. You got to say that net over 2 years, Trubisky's exceeded expectations, which sounds shocking. I almost am uncomfortable saying it. Fez, can you counteract that?
No, I just can confirm it. Trubisky last night ran for over 60 yards, RJ. The reason his QBR was so good last year takes into consideration rushing yards by the quarterback, and Trubisky
which ran. Which it should, right? Lamar
right.
Jackson is going to be the MVP, it looks like.
And Trubisky ran a lot this year. He had not run for more than 18 yards all year long in a game.
And his attempts were down.
Way down.
This is one of Steve Fezzik's two-time Super Contest champion, only guy walking the earth to do that. Or that ever walked the earth, might be the better way to say it. Because he's the only guy to ever do it. And he taught me something very interesting a year or two ago, which is if you want to know about the health of a quarterback, especially if the quarterback is a running quarterback ever, like just consistently even 5 carries, 3 carries a game, is he carrying the ball as much as usual? The theory is if he's not, what?
Well, you're compromised as an offense.
Well, it hurts the offense, no doubt. But it's the quarterback saying, I'm banged up. I don't want to take that hit.
And I want to get my big contract coming up. I don't want to get hurt.
But when's the contract? So in some hypothetical, wouldn't the contracts of the running quarterback in this hypothetical be spread out between he just signed to next year he's due and everywhere in between?
Yes.
So what you said wasn't pertinent.
Yeah, that's true.
But he had a good point a couple years ago that I remember. That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. I don't want to make a big bet on Trubisky. I'm not looking to bet even money. But let's just say the odds are 5-1. He becomes, let's say, the 10th best quarterback in the NFL. So, a 1 in 5 chance he becomes the 10th best quarterback. That sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Maybe a little optimistic.
Yeah, a little optimistic.
By a smidge, though.
Yeah.
He was the second pick. The Bears have to do everything they can to give him every chance. So all this talk of, it'd be horrible for the organization if you kept your bit. Geez, it'd be horrible to trade up. And literally have where you not only have to use the number 2 pick, but you pay a premium to get there. And then the guy ends up being a net negative. That's horrible.
Yep.
So I know the whole sunk cost fallacy. I don't think it's a sunk cost. The number 3 quarterback last year, 2 straight good games. And the fact he's running more tells me he was either hurt earlier or Nagy said, don't run. Let's get you excelling in the pocket. Maybe that was foolish.
Strong.
All right. We got a best bet coming up.
Yes, we do have a best bet. Before we get to that best bet, I want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. With over 5,600 locations nationwide, AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Best bet time from Steve Fezzik.
All right, we do all of our best bets other than this one at the end of the hour, but we don't want you to wait. This is like the best actress type Oscar. Go, Fez.
Yeah, I like Oakland plus three. I bet Oakland plus three against Tennessee. I'm going to make the case. Tennessee is overrated. I know Tennessee's 5-1 their last six games. Let's look at four of their wins. They've been incredibly lucky, RJ. The Chargers had three game-winning touchdowns called back that all of them would have won against Tennessee. None of them counted. The Bucs had a go-ahead touchdown disallowed by a bad call. Tennessee wins. Kansas City had a 98% chance with 90 seconds left to beat Tennessee, yet Tennessee still won. And last week, Indy had a go-ahead field goal blocked late in the fourth quarter that allowed Tennessee to take a seven-point lead. Tennessee overrated. I like Oakland plus three.
So in a way, you're saying late in the game, in the last five games, Tennessee could easily be 1-4?
Easily, yes.
And what was the one game they won handedly? They had one, right?
I forgot.
Okay, yes. But no, that's fine. But you're saying 4 out of 5 in this winning streak has been not only it could have went either way, they were underdogs late in the game.
Exactly.
And you're saying everyone's saying, hey, Tannehill, he's better than that Mariota, whatever they call him. He's not any good, right? He can shine up his Heisman. I like it. And people might be saying, but wait a minute, RJ. Tannehill is better. You're right. But you know something? The line has adjusted accordingly. If this were Tannehill's last game and Oakland were at home against Tennessee, like they are here, Oakland would be what? 3?
Yeah.
Oakland would be favored by 3. Now Oakland's a 3-point underdog. So what's happened is Tennessee has been upgraded by 6 points effectively. Assuming Oakland stayed the same, which they didn't, but let's keep it simple. Tennessee around 6 points of upgrade. So probably more 4.5, and Oakland's been downgraded off the last 2 games.
Right.
All right. So let's call it 4.5 or so points of upgrade for Tennessee. And you're saying that's too much. And you're saying if they'd be 2-3 even during those 5 games, they even get a lucky win, it wouldn't be near that much.
Not nearly close to it.
I love it. You got to find systemic mispricing. When does the market get it wrong? They get it wrong with Seattle when they have only a plus 36-point differential on the season and they're 10-2. They get it wrong with Green Bay when they're being outgained this year, outgained and still 9-3. And they get it wrong with Tennessee with Tannehill, because it looks like it's the rejuvenation of a franchise, but they won a lot of coin flip games, and even worse, best bet from Fez, Oakland plus 3. Colin Cowherd, first time you can hear it anywhere, pick number 6.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we have got more best bets as we take a look ahead to a busy weekend in the NFL and college football. I want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone's got the free services you need to help get you back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. With over 5,600 locations nationwide, AutoZone is here to help save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
No wonder they call it Pickpalooza. We just got Fez's best bet, Oakland plus 3. We got mine and Brad's coming up in a few minutes. And now, first time anywhere, Colin Cowherd's pick number 6.
Let's go! Go!
No.
Hey, that's great football now!
It's Colin's
bonus pick only for RJ Bell.
Pick number 6.
All right, my bonus pick, the Jets minus 5.5, because I think with the exception of the Cincinnati game, I liked how they were playing offensively, and I thought Darnold found a groove. Even last week, by the way, against Cincinnati, he wasn't bad. No interceptions, multiple drops, terrible protection. I think Darnold back at home. Again, this team's playing for something. There's a lot of young players on this team. There's pride. Gase is here. They're putting stuff on film. I'd swallow the 5.5. What would the wise guy say?
disagreement here, and this is really the anatomy of handicapping bad teams at the end of the season. And let's just admit it, it is more art than science. Sometimes it's a judgment call. So let's look at the Jets. On one hand, you could say, man, bad season, and maybe one of the worst, if not the worst game, getting dominated against the Bengals. So you might think this team's depressed. This team's going to be flat. On the other hand, you could say this might be the redemption role of all redemption roles. What do I mean by that? Well, they just lost, as we said, to the winless Bengals, the Jets did, and they have revenge when Miami, who was winless, beat them the first time they played. So in a weird way, you could make the case the Jets are going to be hyper motivated. I'm not sure what the answer is. I know this Jets team, this coaching staff with Gase, I don't love in general, so I don't trust them motivationally. On the other hand, you could say Miami, oh, they're going to be flat. They're not going to make the playoffs. They've exceeded expectations already. They were supposed to be the number one pick. They're not. And they just had such a nice win last week. Or do you think, wait a minute, this team got momentum. They've covered 6 of 8. There's talk of coach of the year even for their coach, which is amazing. They're going to keep the momentum going. I don't think there's clear answers on this. I trust Miami more than I trust the Jets, and I trust getting the points when there's two bad teams. So disagreement on your Jets, I like Miami.
All right, RJ, thanks. Have a great week.
Thanks again to Colin for that. Every Friday, don't miss it. Bottom of the hour, pick number 6 first. Fez, what do you think? I don't know if I'm going to bet it, but a strong lean to the Dolphins.
Yeah, and I believe in Fitzmagic, RJ. Let's look at Fitzmagic. He's number 8 in QBR ranking in the league right now, and that's despite starting the year horrifically the first 2 weeks. He has been really good since he came back.
What is it with him? We were trying to figure out Dallas. Like, I would make the case at his highs, he really, at his heights, Fitzpatrick's what? Maybe about the 8th best quarterback.
Yep.
But his lows, ooh.
38.
Ooh. Like they said in the Big Lebowski, there was no bottom. When we come back, I was 2-0 yesterday. It's true. Am I going to rest on that? Nah, that's Jonas Knox style. I'm giving you another best bet, and Brad Powers also.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted, and it's money-making time next year on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. It is conference championship weekend in college football. Things kick off coming up a little over an hour from now in Santa Clara. It is Utah and Oregon for the Pac-12 title game right now on pregame.com. Utah, a 6.5-point favorite.
Yeah, this is fascinating because it so affects the Oklahoma game, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But, man, the amount of conversation around if Georgia loses, Utah wins, and Oklahoma wins. Fez, you sharpened the pencil. We took some different props and did some algebra. So kids, algebra matters. It does. What did we figure out is assuming Georgia loses, Utah wins, Oklahoma wins, what's the odds say?
The odds say Utah would get in 2/3 of the time over Oklahoma.
I don't agree with that. I think I would even bet, not that I take a bad number, I'd bet even money on Oklahoma. Brad, even money, what do you bet?
I'm betting on Utah. You want to bet?
Let's do 100. Yeah. Somehow I'm giving him, we got to figure a little extra, like I get a breakfast or something as Vig, because if we're saying the math says 66%.
Yeah. Well, I already owe you from last night. So
what does that mean? That means it's my money now. Yeah. Don't ever think like that, kids. Another lesson you should learn. You win, it's yours now. It's not theirs, it's yours. You got to pay taxes on it. Brad, what you got in tonight's game?
I like the under. I have bet the under in this one. It's all about the weather.
What's
forecast.
The total?
46, under 46 tonight. 20-mile-an-hour plus winds, rain in the forecast, already on a questionable playing surface at Levi Stadium. Under 46 for me tonight.
So this venue is an under venue.
It is. If you
generally,
if you blindly bet the under in all of San Francisco 49ers games since the stadium opened 5 years ago, 63% the under.
Now, the weather causes unders in general. Now, the weather on this surface should even be like 2 + 2 = 5.
Yep.
Brad Powers, that's a bet, a bonus. That's not even your best bet.
No. Nope.
It's a bonus best bet under tonight.
And we will get to Brad's best bet. Before we do, I want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service with over 5,600 locations nationwide. AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Best bet time from Brad Powers.
Before the best bet, let me bring you this long commercial. No commercials. I got a quick question, though. If Utah loses, how does that affect the Oklahoma? And I'm looking at the Oklahoma side. I get you could say, well, Baylor, who potentially I think would be the huge favorite. Think about that a second. If Utah loses tonight and Baylor beats Oklahoma, I think it's over 95%. It's Baylor in the playoff.
Yep, I agree with that.
So the question is, aren't they max motivated anyway just to win the Big 12? If anything, it might get them nervous. I'm not sure if that's pro or con for Baylor, but it would affect Oklahoma.
Yeah, certainly then Oklahoma knows that if Utah loses tonight, if Oklahoma wins, they are in the college football playoff.
No doubt, but how does that affect the way they play, do you think?
There would be less motivation for them to have to get margin, in my opinion.
I think so. So I think they're extra focused.
Yep.
I think they tighten up a little bit, perhaps. Not that they're really a tight team. And in general, I'd look to play Baylor. I mean, at that point, if I could get today's odds, if you tell me I can take Baylor and it's only a bet if Utah loses, I think I have an edge there. What do you think, Fez?
I agree.
All right. So what is your best bet?
It's Georgia +7. And to me, LSU is overpriced. Why? It's off of last week's result. LSU beat Texas A&M 50-7. I upgraded LSU 2 points in my power ratings, about as much as I will upgrade any team this time of the year, and yet my power ratings say value on Georgia here, who's playing close to home, familiar with the facility, better defense, better at the line of scrimmage. Georgia +7.
Wait a minute. All those things you just ticked off sounds like Georgia's just a better team. Would you bet this a pick 'em?
I would not.
Okay, so could you say all that stuff and then LSU be laying 7?
Because LSU by far has the better offense. Huge disparity between these two teams' offense.
So what's the line? All the givens, because you were double talking earlier this week saying, well, I did think this line was supposed to be 3, but there was this one injury, and then for a half, this one guy's out, so 4 points. No. What's the Brad Powers line, right?
4.5.
And you're getting 7.
Yes.
And you say, gimme, gimme.
Gimme, gimme. I have bet it. I love this bet.
All right. But remember, kids. Well, not the kids. We don't talk to the kids about the actual betting. Just let's just say college kids. That's fine. I think if they're over 21. I don't know. We'll just say everybody. Consider the following. No bet wins more. Well, really, your goal is 55%.
Yes.
I've been hot. It's 55%, though. And if you think just because Brad loves it, I love it, Fez loves it, maybe our games of the year type gets up to 58, 59. That's it. There are no locks. If you learn anything, there are no locks. And if anyone tells you there are, they're lying to you. Real quick, Ohio State. There's a situation there that you think that one game could affect the way they play.
Yeah, so say LSU does lose to Georgia, which I wouldn't mind happening. In my opinion, then, what is Ohio State's motivation to get margin? Because if
they still want to win because they want the number one seed.
Exactly, but you know, is there motivation to get margin? Because with LSU losing, Ohio State win, and Ohio State's the number one seed.
So if they're up 14, 4 minutes left, they got the starters have their shoulder pads off and all that stuff.
Exactly, run out the clock, let's call it a day.
That's Brad Powers.
All right. Time for a best bet from RJ Bell.
All right, this is simple. I teased it yesterday. You cannot be afraid to look stupid if you want to win at sports betting. And here is an example. My best bet, the Washington Redskins. There's a very possible possibility, very possible, that the Skins lose this game by 35. And I'm going to look stupid, but only to stupid people. The smart people are going to realize, hey, in the long run, if it wins 55% of the time, who cares how bad they lose when they lose? And what do we have? A Washington team that's playing a lot better than they were earlier. A Washington team that's rallying behind this old school, let's run the ball, Coach Callahan, or Coach Callahan says, we're going to run the ball. Yes, sir. Well, you know what's happened? They got back a second running back. It's not just Peterson, two-headed monster. And you know what the weakest unit the Packers have is? The rush defense. And we're getting 13 points, slow the game down. And you know, Aaron Rodgers, I think you take it easy. That California cool will work well, I think, in this game. Best bet, RJ, Washington plus 13 in the NFL.
If you missed any of today's show, including multiple best bets and some surprising numbers on Mitch Trubisky, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We are back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!